Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and we'll broadcast them live from the New Africa Business Association here in Washington, D.C. studio. So the New Africa Business Association Network Marketing and Business Identification. Tonight we're having our open mic. Therefore, open mic means that if you are a business person, without any charge whatsoever, we're going to be promoting your business on our open mic. Like I said, we are our objective, excuse me, is to identify businesses in our communities and identify who owns these businesses. And we put our special emphasis on the African Americans who are in business. So therefore, our emphasis on identifying businesses in the African American communities are African American businesses, but that doesn't say that we are not inviting others to participate, anyone who wished to participate in the New Africa Business Association. And if you of good character, we ask you to certainly join us. But like I said, our emphasis is on the African-American community's businesses. And so that's why we say we have our open mic nights. And these nights is where, again, you can come on and talk about your business at no cost. But we're doing this simply because we want to be able to identify African Americans who are in business, and by your coming on and identifying your own business rather than trying to advertise through our advertisement department, we invite you to just simply come on and tell us in person all about your business and who you are. And those of you who are listening, we certainly hope that you that you start doing business with these African Americans that you are finding that are in business, and what type of goods or services they can provide you. So again, this is the New Africa Business Association. Again, I am your host, and I think I have my my partner on, Brother Aziz, my co-host. Are you with me?
Yes, assalamu alaikum and greetings, Brother Bilal, and to our guests.
Alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, alhamdulillah. Doing good, brother. Doing good. Trying to do good, I put it that way.
Striving to do good. Well, that's what I think. If we keep our intentions on doing good, then our efforts is going to turn out to be good. So, so sounds like your intentions is to do good, and you are doing good. I would say, Aziz, you're in a pretty good position. We've been saying so many times, this is our open mic, and this is where those who are coming in this evening, they can identify their businesses, talk about their business, and let us know who you are, because here at the New Africa Business Association, we want to know where the African-American businesses are. And it's not so much a pat on the back situation saying we want to know, or saying I'm an African-American and I'm trying to do all I can for my brothers and sisters. That too, but our efforts in saying that we want to do business and network with each other and become vested with each other to create new businesses in the African American community. We're saying it, and we're saying it simply because we know, Brother Aziz, that the African American community, because of the high consumer spendings, if they had those businesses in their communities, else our consumer spendings and spendings will expand in our communities. So, again, that's the reasons why we're saying it pays to become vested and build businesses right in our community. So there is a big demand for businesses in the African American communities all over this country. So, again, we welcome our listeners this evening, all of you that, who come on to participate. Let us know who you are so we can hopefully start stimulating business activities in our communities. So, again, Brother Aziz, like I said, we are giving everybody a chance to come on. Yeah. You and I will just go ahead and we'll talk. And once our audience is, we see they're at our participating levels, we will open our mics up and we will invite them to come on. But,
yes. I was going to give a shout out from us. I forgot to mention to you the reason why one of our hosts, Brother Imam Tariq Abdul Mukmin, isn't on. He had been sick for the last couple of weeks and wasn't feeling very well. And, you know, and I just wanted to let people know, you know, because he'd come on with a program also as part of our program to giving out different information about starting and handling businesses and that, you know. And so just want to let anybody know, as well as us know, that hopefully he'll be feeling better the next go around. And we'll hear some more from him and the business advice that he's given on starting your own businesses and things like that, as well as getting funds for them. But, yes, Brother Bilal, as ongoing as it's been now for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or longer in terms of the blog radio shows, the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. is one of the premier advocates of African-owned businesses in terms of the network and marketing. And, you know, you've been a mainstream leader, you know, and promoting that and asked me to come along and be an assistant to you over these years because of, you know, you wanting to promote African-American business. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea, brother. And, you know, it's really a good ongoing thing, and it's a charity to the community as well as a blessing for you and I and those who participate in this program that we have featuring African-American businesses and also having those businesses network, you know, identification and networking and marketing of the businesses. That there's not very many places you can get that and have, you know, people willingly get to hear you often every week. You can go to the website of the New Africa Business Association and see these business people who participate in it. And it's going to grow. It take time to grow like anything, but in the process of our business growing, what's really growing out there is the eating up of African-American land and properties at a rapid rate. There are people that's outside of our race that are seeing the opportunities that exist in our communities, and they're buying up real estate in our communities, whether it be a home, a big business, a block of barren land, run-down land or whatever. But they're coming in and seizing these opportunities. And then they're putting businesses in the community that we need. And then after that, where do we carry our money? Who do we make rich on a continuous basis? Others than our own. And it's getting to be really, really a major problem in a while, in some places, but in a while, you won't be able to go in the African-American community and find nothing, no kind of business, even right down to the hair salons. because other groups of people are coming into our community and they're studying how to do our women's hair. But moreover, our women are trying to get their, a lot of our women are trying to get their hair to look like other women of other cultures and running from their own beauty that they have already. So there's all types of businesses that exist out there that attract us and that we are attracted to and that we use. But the problem is we're not out there promoting those types. We don't own those businesses. As you said, Brother Bilal, we don't own those businesses. And they're sitting all around our community that we don't own. But we have the opportunity out here to own those businesses. Some of us can perhaps own some individually. But the most prosperous way is to own one collectively. Anywhere from 4 or 5 people to maybe 20 people might invest in a large business or a small one. But that's where our prosperity and wealth is going to come from, us investing together and investing in one another. If 20 people have shares in a business, and they're not actually managing the business, but they have 20 shares in it, and they watch that business grow, we're talking about building generational wealth, bro. And these are the type of programs. Yeah. And this is the type of knowledge and information that the American, we've been doing. The New Africa Business Association in Washington, D.C. has been trying to promote for the longest. And we've had guests that come on our show from Black Wall Street that come on and help and contribute information to our listeners as well as brought others on to help listeners. So this is we work with people. We work with people to get that information out there, and that's what we want to let it to be known. Moreover, we're only asking the businessmen the same thing we would ask any one of our listeners is, to really be a good solid part of all this information that's ongoing as well as you yourself can come on, especially when we have open mics. We ask you to become a member of the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. That's not asking much of you, and the membership is not expensive for the wealth of information that you can get from participating in this, as well as all the information that we provide for you on every level that you could think of in business, from accounting and finance to insurance to legal to the attorneys, and it just goes on and on. How to get money to start your business. A number of different ways that you can get information that's needed for you to get ahead. Our biggest challenge today is not only getting African-American businesses to network and marketing. It's also a big challenge, and that's all of us can participate in this, and that's changing a mindset that has been put in a people since slavery. We want to change that mindset where we can really help one another in ways that we never dreamt of as other cultures help one another. That's all we're asking. This is not a racial thing or a discriminating thing or anything. What we're trying to do is become normal people, normal civilized people doing business among one another, doing business with one another. Now, we don't say that we won't do business with others. That would be crazy to say we're going to do business with others, but doing business with one another, it brings a kind of prosperity and a kind of pride, community pride, not individual pride, but community pride. As you would go into a Chinese community or Asian community or any one of these communities, a Latino or I should say, people that speak the Spanish language communities, you go into these different places, and there's a certain pride there. The guys be hanging out and they're hanging around just like they're at home because they know this is their people's businesses and that. Then they know how to carry themselves.
I think our mics are getting pretty full up. I think we want to try to get as much community participation. We definitely welcome your comments, but let's see if we can get some of our audience to participate with us. Brothers and sisters and Brother Aziz, continue to hold your point. But in the meantime, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that our mics are open this evening. So if you have comments, we ask you to come right on in with us. We welcome your ideas, your business ideas, and business comments. So I have opened the mics to everyone who has called in. So if you can hear me, we can hear you. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. If you have a business, or if you have a business idea, or if you have a business suggestion, we welcome your idea. Also, if you have a political concern, we also have a listening ear. So we welcome our listeners. If you are listeners, our mics are open. All right, Brother Aziz, we will just continue then, and like I said, our audience will participate as they will. But like you were saying, Brother Aziz, and I'm gonna turn it right back to you. But you're absolutely right. But Brother Aziz, you mentioned that word charitable. It'd be a nice charitable thing to do, and which it would be, but the African American community is too valuable to even consider anything as far as charitable to build our communities. We spend way too much monies. No, if we took and kept the monies that we go on the out and we have to go on the outside of our communities to buy our goods and services, because we do not have businesses in our communities. But if the Starbucks was in our communities, if the McDonald's or if the hotels or wherever you go and spend your monies, if those businesses was in your communities, then naturally we're going to spend our monies right in our communities. That's why building businesses in the African American community is worth it. Just about any type of business, a movie theater. We don't have any of those things. We go out of our communities to restaurants, many of them. We go on the outside of our communities for all of our goods and services. So no, investing into the African American communities and becoming each other's assets to start businesses, I think would be a wonderful investment. I know myself, I would be interested in, I know the new
African,
we would be interested in investing money in an African-American community. I don't care what community it is. It doesn't have to be in Washington, D.C., because, like I said, we need businesses in all of our communities. Because, again, if the businesses was in our communities, we wouldn't have to go on the outside of our communities to spend our monies. Therefore, the dollar bill stays in our communities, and it circulates in our communities. But no, when you start talking about consumer spendings, and this is the last year's statistics, those stats show that we spent over $1.7 trillion. That puts you in a very high cash reserve income. You're a high reserve cash income community, but our cash reserves go on the outside of our communities simply because we do not have businesses in our communities. That's why New African Business Association says we ask you to come on and identify your business. Talk about your business. We need to know your business so we can do business with the few that are already in business. But then after we identify the few African Americans that are already in business, let's start create new businesses together, such as we're going to be doing down in Selma, Alabama. And again, we're going to be talking about that is one of the biggest examples of what New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street. We are all one, one great big merger now, New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., and Black Belt Wall Street. Those of you who do not know the history of Black Belt Wall Street, we'll be talking about that. But again, Brother Aziz, our mics are still open. And like I asked the audience, I'm opening the mics to anyone who's calling in. So the same way you can hear me speaking with you, if you say something, I can hear you speaking to me. But at the same time, if you're not going to engage in conversation, we do ask that you keep yourself on mute. Take yourself off mute when you're ready to speak. So again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Okay, all right, we got a...
Yeah, brother, yeah.
Go right ahead, Brother Isaiah.
I was going to say, you know, school, you know, around people getting prepared to go back to school. And, you know, there's a push to get these COVID vaccines or get everybody vaccinated, I should say. Especially school children of certain ages. I don't know if it's 12 years old or up, or if they've found a vaccine for younger. But I understand some trials are going on right now for that. And that's an important period for business because this COVID has been pretty devastating on businesses, period. And during this time period, we've seen a lot of African-Americans become creative and open up various businesses that, besides food businesses, other businesses. And this has been very good because it's during a time of definite drastic need do we start becoming inventive and learning how to do for self, as projected by the late Muslim leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He stressed us doing business not only for ourselves but together and building that kind of community we're talking about. So there's been leaders out there such as the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C., that's been out there promoting that idea for a long time. It's just that the impact of the message that's being delivered has not really sank deep enough into some of the community. So those of us that are aware that will listen to a program like this, as Brother Villal just mentioned it, about whoever put the business in our community, if it's something we need, we're going to be spending our money there. We're going to go to that business, period, whoever's there, whether they're African-American or not. But the idea we're putting in and trying to encourage people to accept and embed in their behavior and the way they think is doing business with yourself among your own people. You won't go into too many neighborhoods in America that is a certain group of people living there that you won't find them mainly owning the businesses that are in their community. Our community is the only one that you can go into and find a variety of people other than ourselves that's running all of the business. And none of us there, so... This is an idea that we're trying to encourage and promote, as I say, as other African-American leaders have in the past. The Black Wall Street, Honorable Elijah Muhammad coming behind him. All of these people that's tried to promote African-Americans going into business, whether individually or collectively, but what we're saying collectively, because doing it collectively, we're providing jobs. We're providing jobs for people that could be providing jobs for families. And it goes on and on, providing jobs, employment, you know, that kind of economy And when you got that kind of economy in any area, you're recognized as a people. You get your respect that you want. These civil rights and all this here, this gives us an idea of something, of maybe respect or some type of freedom. But when you have economics, when you got money, and your community has money, you have a lot more than what they call respect. You got something they call power. We don't have any power that's visible, not visible to us collectively. All our power that we have is visible to other people. And I'm talking about not physical power, economic power, money that they can put in their pockets by bringing businesses into our communities and saturating it. It's one thing for sure, if you go into any town, if you want to find a Chinese place, you go over to the black neighborhood, you find one over there. That word then got all the way around the world, 12,000 miles around. For all of y'all that's in the food business, when you come to America, when you set up with them plum chops, go right over there in the African-American community. You won't no Chinese teach us how to cook nothing. But I'm not saying that's a negative deal, other than the fact that that type of studying of human peoples and all the people in that, that they know that people around the world know about the economic power that we have in our community that we don't know how to use or put together. So it's programs like what the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. is promoting.
Brother, you don't mind me interjecting. And like I said, audience, that those of you who are listening, we ask that you could also interject, because we don't know. We don't have all the answers. We're generalizing, but we are trying to get to facts. But you know, Brother Aziz, rather than this business of comparing other ethnicity into our communities and saying there someone is better than this, someone is better. You know, we don't have to really do that. We're too powerful for that. Like I said, when it comes to consumer, when it comes to the cash flow of the American dollars, the African American contributed a very, very high a figure. And so it's not just consumer spending. You know, we don't talk about the taxation that we spend in this country. We don't see there. We are very powerful, but our power ain't so much been taken away from us because of what we don't know or because we are stupid people. No, our power is taken away from us because of discrimination. You know, redlining is something that kept cash flow from being in African-American communities. Redlining got started after World War II and that brand new deal, and today we got a new deal by the Biden administration, but the new deal after World War II is the same kind of deal that they're trying to get started right now with the Biden administration. The only thing about the old new deal, African Americans was totally excluded. This is when redlining started. So those of you who are really so redlining is along with the destruction of black successful business such as Wall Street and the Black Wall Street district. So when you destroy, when they destroy the Greenwood district in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they just didn't destroy one community. They destroyed the entire Black Wall Street district, which made up Wall Street. So, again, our history is something that we need to know. But in the meantime, our example, and that example is that, yes, we've already shown our economical powers and the cotton gin and so many powers that we have brought about to this country. but it was taken away by force, just like that insurrection of January the 6th is the same type of insurrection that African Americans been going through ever since we've been here. So economically, the reasons why our African-American communities don't have businesses in them is because of redlining of financial institutions and banks and anyone who you would go to for a business financing made certain that those finances did not go, and it's still making sure those finances do not go into certain African-American communities that they have recognized as African-American communities. And we know what those communities are. You came from them. You know that they had some kind of barrier that separated your community, whether it was a highway, whether it was a bridge, whether it was a road, whether it was a river, or whether it was just a dividing line. But this was the African American community, and that's the community where the redlining practices took place. So yes, there are the intentions of keeping African Americans from being very prosperous, for whatever reasons this country has done so, they have done it. But I'm saying this is something that we as African Americans are realizing, but we also are realizing the power of our African American dollar. So realizing the power of that African American dollar and seeing the high consumer spendings, we're saying, okay, maybe now is a good time to start all over again. Maybe now is a good time to start what the Black Belt Wall Street District started 100 years ago, and the success of the Black Belt Wall Street and the Greenwood Wall Street out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's time to look at that as an example and redo it all over again, because the same way they were successful, like I said, redlining was on them too, but the reason they were successful is because they took and used their funds. They put it back, the funds that came out of Tulsa, and of course you're talking about all that oil that the African-Americans owned there that started the Greenwood markets, the Greenwood District, and later on became Black Wall Street. But they was able to, again, become each other's assets. What do I mean by that? They used monies to pay off the sharecroppers' loans all over the South, all the way and all the way from all through Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, all of those sharecroppers. That's how the migration all started and was allowed to start, because black folks was able to pay off their loans, and they was able to leave those farms, which was no more than slavery. So I'm saying we have a history, discrimination history, that we are trying to overcome, and we're trying to overcome it financially. But I can say this, by becoming each other's assets, and building businesses jointly and not borrowing monies from those white establishments, now when we build a business, the business is ours, such as going back to Selma, Alabama. Right now we know Black Belt Wall Street is buying up the blocks of Selma, Alabama. We was buying up as many blocks as we could, but of course, we as African Americans, we kept asking for community investments, and we got some. We was able to buy a couple buildings right there in the heart of Alabama. One of those buildings that we bought is going to be is right in front of the new John Lewis theater, a civil rights theater that they're building. And that Civil Rights Theater and that Civil Rights Memorial, more or less, is going to be one of the biggest tourist attractions in this country coming to Washington, D.C. And we have Black Belt Wall Street and the investors that did respond. We did buy two of the buildings, and they are right there in front of that museum that is being built. But at the same time, white folks, I heard our message of buying up Selma, Alabama. They saw what was happening. They saw the values that was coming to Selma. And so they came in, and again, they bought up all the blocks. So all those blocks in Selma, Alabama that we was trying to buy back, buy for ourselves after white folks had abandoned and left the town and cut the lights out and left African Americans down there in the dark. No, we went back down there and put our brothers and sisters back in the lights, but we couldn't buy all the blocks fast enough because we didn't invest our monies with each other as fast as other communities did. But again, the ones of those of us that did invest our monies, we did buy these two buildings, and now those two buildings are going to be going skyscrapers. We're going up with those two buildings, and that's where we're asking now those investors who wasn't in on buying the blocks. Now we're saying come in and be investors on the businesses that we do own there. Building the skyscrapers, and in those skyscrapers, we're going to be putting hotels. Now, another thing, brothers and sisters, let me say, we're only about, from what I understand, and we all are going to be inviting investors to come down pretty soon to see for yourself. But I understand that those buildings that we do own is no more than a block or so from the river, from the water. So therefore, the hotels and everything that we're building is going to be right there on the waters, right at all our we're building hotels, restaurants, several buildings, new businesses. Again, we're going to put a couple high-rise skyscrapers. We wanted to own the entire block, but again, we can only own what we do own. But this is what a Black Belt Wall Street, this is the example of where we are now. Yes, we can always talk about what has happened, talk about our past. Our past has been good, and our past has been bad. And we cannot, but ain't nothing our past can do with us right now. What has happened has happened. If there's something that we have to go back and work on later on and get repercussions, well, that's something that we're talking about right now and how proactive we can be right now. And as you can see, brothers and sisters, like I said, our communities is very valuable. Like Brother Aziz was saying, it's true. Not only are these folks come in and outsiders when they see African-Americans being proactive and seeing that we're going to start doing for ourselves, then they either going to come in and ask, can they join you? Are they going to come in and see what you're doing and buy it first? And, of course, that's what has happened in Selma. They came back in. Their monies was bigger than ours, and so they was able to buy more of the blocks than we were. But the blocks that we bought, we are now going to and see, that's the same example we're talking about taking to every a city and black community in this country. When we say putting businesses in black communities, we're not just talking, brother. It's going to happen. Our investors, and we have right now identified over 100 cities that we're planning on doing what we're doing in Selma, Alabama. So, again, New Africa Business Association, and the those who are associated with us, the money managers, financial planners, all types of professionals. And the thing about it, brothers and sisters, I'm one of them, we all come by and we do our professional work without having to charge each other. So there's a whole, you see, this is what happens when we all become vested with each other. It's not always money. It's your talents. It's your ideas. It's many, many things that makes that's going to make us successful, but we all have to be involved somehow. Join the New Africa Business Association. Go to our website, newafricabusinessassociation.com, Washington, D.C. newafricabusinessassociation.com, Washington, D.C. We are going to be we're upgrading our website, and it's going to be much more attractive, and it's going to be much more attractive for your participation. And our brother Aziz just was saying about Brother Mookman is our international wholesale distributor. And so those brothers have been in the wholesale markets of buying goods out of China and out of Europe, and we're working on Africa. But right now we're working out of China. We've been buying out of China and Europe for quite a while. So you can even go on the internet, and you can even see some of the men's suits and some of the. But what we have on our internet now is just a small amount of what is going to be displayed here in the near future that can put you in business. And when I say wholesale. And I know I'm skipping from Selma, and I don't want because we Selma is the one that we Selma is the one that like I said, if you have your own hotels, if you have your own theaters, you have a businesses right across the street from a museum, a John Lewis Memorial a Theater. And millions of folks are coming there as tourists, and your building is right across the street. Now, we've been offered all kinds of monies for these buildings. But see, the thing about it, and like I said, if we have anybody on here from Black Belt Wall Street, or if we have anybody from Wall Street, I welcome your comments. Anyone who knows or in on what I am talking about, come on in and share this information. But we, brothers and sisters, Brother Harris, I don't think he's with us. Brother Harris, if you're with us, I know you would already have said something, but so I'm almost sure he's not with us. But you need to, what's happened in Selma, Alabama, is going to be the example of what we want to do all over this country. And Selma, Alabama, and black communities, businesses, you have what is called, the black zone, what is it called, Aziz, the black zoning?
It's the opportunity zone funds.
At the opportunity of zone fund, and that's another reason why others, Caucasians and others, are coming into our communities now, put businesses because of that opportunity zone fund. Now, do you realize that opportunity zone fund was actually introduced by President Obama? And guess who passed it? Mm-hmm. Go tell him, brother. Please tell him who passed it.
Donald J. Trump.
Donald Trump passed it. I know but the reason Donald Trump passed it is because they was looking for white folks to start coming in and buying up the black communities and getting tax write-offs, huge profits that they make by having businesses in the black communities. They can make hundreds of billions of dollars, and they wouldn't have to pay any taxes for the first 10 years, any monies that is made under the opportunity. And see, these bills was underwritten for African Americans to advance, but if we don't do anything about building our own communities, others are, and not only are they making money, but they're getting great big tax write-offs for doing it. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, join the African Business Association. If you don't know, and many of us don't because we're not business professionals, but you have business professionals in your organization, and so we all are learning and growing together. But the biggest thing is that the monies that Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine once we grow those buildings down there in Selma and go up, I don't know how many sewers they're going up, and we have great, all the folks that are working together on that project down in Selma, Alabama, Tuskegee Institute, down, all of those engineers and brothers and sisters are all working together to do to build that community up. So when you go down there a year or two and you see our buildings sky high, it would be because African Americans built those buildings sky high. But that's no great big surprise. You know, going back to Black Wall Street, going back to the Greenwood District, before the Greenwood District, there was no sky high rises in this country. The first sky high rises built in the United States was done in Tulsa, Oklahoma, by those black people. They built so again, that's why Tulsa, Oklahoma, those black folks, white folks, they was just too. We showed too much professionalism and too much success and monies. They couldn't stand it. They still can't stand it. Why do you think they hate you when they see you riding around in your house, great big old beautiful house? You riding around in a great big old pretty car. They don't hate black folks who are in poverty, who live in the ghetto. They don't hate them. They don't have no reason. They got them right where they want them. It's you, the successful black folks, that they hate. Wall Street and all like that was the screw up. But again, because of hate. So, like I said, we've had our good times, we had our bad times, we've been through the worst. We've been through slavery, for heaven's sakes. But we're talking about right now, today, 2021. How proactive can we be and start and rebuilding and making ourselves successful and keeping the black dollar in our communities and letting that trillions and trillions of dollars circulate in our communities? And the only way you're going to get trillions of dollars circulating in your communities, you have to have commerce. If you don't have commerce, there's no way you can circulate any monies in your communities. I don't care if you have million-dollar homes. Your million-dollar house ain't going to be worth $1 million because the value is just not going to grow because of commerce. Brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, Brother Aziz, our mics are open. We're going to be here until 9 o'clock. We noticed that we can say right now the New Africa Business Association from 7 until 8 o'clock, we're under the Eastern Standard Time. At 8 o'clock, we will go to Standard Time, and our brothers and sisters from places such as Oklahoma, Texas, all of those that are under the Standard Time will be coming on, and they will be continuing to share the information that you are hearing right now. So you do not have to go off the station at 8 o'clock. We ask you that you can stay on and continue to talk to brothers and sisters. And like I said, right here we're on the Eastern Standard Time, but we'll be going to Standard Time, so we'll have our Eastern region of the country and our Southern regions of the country. We all be coming together. See, brothers and sisters, this is what I mean about network marketing and business identification. This is what we have been able to do from Blog Talk Radio in the last 3 years. We have now connected, I don't know how many, right now I'm looking at the radio station and I'm looking at all the different area codes that we have on right now on the Eastern Standard. But when Standard Time come on, all of this will double. That's how our network marketing and are identifying with each other, that's how much we have grown. So, again, when I say giving you the opportunity to come on and identify your business, many African Americans not only here are listening, but on the internet. And then our statistics is showing that we're being heard in England, all over the Caribbean, many parts of Africa, and even parts of Arabia. So, again, our mics are open. We certainly invite your comments, and we're going to go right back to the mics again. And if anyone who has any comments or wants to share any comments, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Okay.
Hi, Mr. Bynum. This is Paul from Columbia, Maryland. I think you should talk to Miss Ella because we have our show from 7 to 9, and she has her show from 8 to 9 every Wednesday. I think there is a little conflict of because now I have to leave. I have to go to Mr. Ella soon.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess I understand just what was. Good. Well, again, our show will be continuing until 9 o'clock. For those who would like to stay with us, we certainly welcome you. But I can certainly understand if you have to go and you have something to do. But in the meantime, our mics are open for those who would like to make any comments about your business or any other comments
yes.
you'd like to make about tonight's show.
Thank you. For a better understanding, what I'm saying is that Black Wall Street New Business Administration have her show from 7 to 9, and Black Wall Street USA, Miss Queen Ella, has her show from 8 to 9.
Yes, but we're not Black Wall Street USA. We're Black Belt Wall Street. So again, our mics are open. Anyone who have any comments, New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, we welcome your comments. All right, Brother Aziz, Look like we got sort of a quiet audience tonight, but anyway, our message is going to be the same.
Right,
the power,
yeah.
And we know the importance of doing businesses in our communities. And one of the things that I am very optimistic and glad about is like the brother who just said, at 8 o'clock, Black Wall Street USA, and then Black Wall Street anybody else or any other organizations that are, in other words, we're talking about, our communities are talking more about business now than they ever have. I don't care what organization you're with, and I'm just glad to hear that our attention now is turning to business and doing business in our communities, because that's what has been very, very silent, very quiet, and non-existent for so many years, as no one cared about doing business in the Black communities.
Only was
taking the monies out of the Black communities, but no one ever encouraged anything about open a business directly in all of the Black communities. The same way you close down businesses in the Black communities, now it's time to open them back up. For those of us African Americans who invest and create businesses in our communities, then I think it's going to be very profitable for those of you who do so. And like I said, I know I wouldn't have. You want to open get a group and say I'm going to open a Sunoco filler station in the Black communities. I would be more happy to join a group like that, and put a New Africa Business Association would certainly would be more than happy to share in be invested with a group like that to open that, or any other physical business in the black communities. Because like I said, in our communities, all businesses are in demand. All businesses are in demand. So again, Brother Aziz, we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. If anybody is on here from Black Wall Street in our standard time, we welcome you at this time, and you can identify yourself, Miss Williams or Miss Stones or anyone in those groups. We're ready to turn the show over to you. Okay, I don't hear anybody from that group, Aziz, or so we'll just continue to take over the standard time until the standard time announcers come on. I knew I'd, but yes, Brother Aziz, like I was saying, going back to Tulsa, unfortunately, you see, it's this type of hesitation. Like Brother Harris always say, wait, wait is what broke the bridge.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what sometimes every now and then we have we hear a very valuable opportunity, but in our daily doing whatever we do daily, sometimes we have a tendency to just overlook opportunities that is right there in front of you. So again, but I would ask you not to overlook the opportunities that are taking place right now. For instance, and this is those of us that went down and was able to buy the buildings that they bought in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Brother Aziz, it's been less than a year, just a few months ago. In Tulsa. And at that time, because there wasn't nobody there, that everybody had abandoned the place, the buildings was going cheap. All the properties in Tulsa was going very cheap. We bought some of the buildings that I'm saying that we bought that is right there in front of those museums. I think the brother said we might have bought those buildings for a little over $150,000. Right today, if they didn't do nothing but just say we ain't renovating nothing, we ain't going to do nothing but just sell the buildings, but now that they know that the museums and all of these folks who have come in there and invested and bought up Tulsa, because Tulsa is bought up. The whole city has been bought up, other than what we own.
Selma.
It's been bought up. Alabama. It's been bought up. And so, like I said, before those outsiders came in there and purchased, they wasn't interested. They left Selma. They left Selma. And but like I said, today we went in there and bought the buildings just a few months ago. Paid a little over $150,000 or so like that. But the same folks who bought where we bought is prime property, and everybody knows where we bought. The location is very prime. We've been offered already over $1 million for something we just paid over $150,000 for just a few months ago. Over $1 million. So we could walk, just say, hey, sell it, let me sell it on back to the, again, in this case, we know it's the Caucasian, sell it back to them, let them have it. But no, at the same time, if they would give us $1 million, just think how much money they. We already know. Like I said, if we have on a hotel, we know that as African Americans, right? African Americans, our churches go, our churches and our masjids. We know we go on all types of conventions every year. And we go to these different cities and different places all over the United States and all over different parts of the Caribbean and whatever, having our conventions. And we know when we have these conventions, some of these conventions, over 50,000 participants show up, many or more at these conventions. And just so, in other words, we're spending, look at the monies we're spending in these hotels, having these conventions. But how many black hotels are there around in the United States that we can have a convention, Brother Aziz, or anybody who's listening? Not very many.
Not many. Sure. Right.
But now we're going to have our own. So just think about the money that hotel is going to make. Think about the same thing when it comes to all the restaurants and all the other convenience stores that we'll be able to have in those two high-rises. That's going to be quite tall. I mean, a lot of businesses, a lot of activities is going to be. But we own those buildings, and now we're saying that you investors, come on with us. Let's renovate these things and let's grow together. But I'm saying, look at the amount of monies that is potentially there to be made. And remember, we own our buildings. You know, it ain't like we rent or we have to pay a mortgage. We own, so any monies that we make belong to us. That's what I mean about being each other's assets. And that way we don't have to go to and borrow monies from these banks and have these
as
banks.
As well as.
No, I'm sorry, go right
ahead,
brother.
As well as employing our people. I was going to say, yeah. Brother Bilal, excuse me for interrupting, but in the points you're making, it's employing our people, too. Buying them buildings, and when they get them set up, that's employing our people. Now, the other people that came in there, they came in there and bought those, started buying those properties up. They bought them up because of the idea that they knew that we were getting ready to do something.
Oh, no. They did, but Brother Isaac, no. They bought that up because of those music, what's going to be put into Selma. The federal government is going to put a lot of monies up. And also, like I said, that John Lewis Center, that's going to be a serious attraction. And that's why they're buying up.
Right.
But see, a lot of this information wasn't known until here recently. And when that information
was getting ready to say.
And started buying up because of the values that they saw that was coming to Selma. And yes, that's why they, they didn't care anything about us coming in there, but they buying up Selma. No, but when they saw the value of what potentially was going to be coming to Selma, now they wanted in as far as buying and purchasing. So, but like I said,
they're just holding on to the land now because they can sell it for whatever they want.
Well, no, they're going to renovate just like we are. They're now Selma, Alabama is going to be a brand new city. A brand new city. Many things is going to be. I'm looking for Selma to be another Mardi Gras before it's all over with. That's how big it's going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be a big move, a real big move for them. I hope it gets to that state, that status.
But I do too.
That'll be good.
But like I said, we can we bring this information on, but it's a matter of how we all come together, how vested we become together, because, like I said, if we do not secure our communities and put businesses in our communities, we're going to lose our communities. We're going to lose them the same way they're talking about renovating mm-hmm. these. You know, this is going to be done all over the country. And another reason why they would love to displace a lot of African-American communities is the voting power that we have in these communities. That's another reason. And but mm-hmm. so if there's no African-American community, you ain't got to worry about no large numbers of African-Americans voting from this community because that community don't exist anymore.
Right. There are no jobs around. So you leave the community, and then the community starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You know, those having those businesses in the community is what keeps us in the community, you know?
Precisely.
And around.
Precisely. And now they're focusing on our stuff. So for many years, remember, nobody paid the black community no attention. But now it's convenient it's convenient to take over. And not only to take over, but the federal government has got this big tax incentive where you can put your business mm-hmm. in the community and make hundreds of billions of dollars, and you don't have to pay taxes because you're up.
Well, because that opportunity zone fund, as you said, that opportunity zone fund, it was intended for our area, for us and that, but it's whoever brings a business into that zone.
Yeah.
It's a certain area. Every area ain't an opportunity zone. Every city got one, and where it is, primarily, majority of them is in the black community.
Yeah.
That's where the majority of the opportunity zones is. And the people, our listeners, they go online and you look up that information. It's a lot of information online about opportunity zone funds and incentives, as well as the legislation, as Brother Bilal had said earlier, about who presented that legislation and then who enacted it. You know, it's two different people. And at the time, the creator of that put it in there in place for us, and the other guy that passed it, the other president passed it because it was a great opportunity not only for us but for white folks too. A big opportunity for them that, you know, they could see how it was done. So this opportunity zone for us is a good thing if we, you know, can get together and use it for what it was created for.
Well, Brother Aziz, I would hope that we would try to get as much information and communicate with each other the importance of the New Africa Business Association adds some value to the community because after tonight's show, you know, this is my vacation month. I'm not looking to do too much on the radio station for the next until after my birthday, which will be August 31st, so we're talking about 3 weeks.
Right.
I might be taking a vacation from the show. And you and I can get refreshed because we've been on here. We come on here every Wednesday, rain, shine, sleet, or snow, and try to bring what we think is an important message to our community. But sometimes, you know, Brother Aziz, look like the community just, our information is not important. The community just don't see no need to participate in business and become, our message is not the message that the community is trying to hear. And if that's the case, We may have to turn this message over to someone else, and hopefully someone else can convey this message. Because again, like you said, as a financial planner who's been in finance for over 40 years, more than 40 years, I know for a fact that economics is the new way of getting rid of unsatisfied citizens. And we know the biggest unsatisfied citizens in this country are African Americans, especially those who are lower income or just the opportunities are not there. That is an objective that. So I'm just saying, as a financial planner, I know. I guess what I'm trying to say, I know the importance of business. The only thing that can keep us independent in a capitalist society is money.
Well, the money could end the racism, Brother Galal.
if our message, you know, I guess what I'm stuttering about, we've been doing this for a long time. And I know you and I put it to the test before where we actually, because, you know, like I guess the word is, we're getting sort of tired. I know I am. And right now, I know we, I look at our audience participants. I mean, we got a few callers in, and many of them stayed with us. Many of them dropped off. Didn't get that much participation from our audience, which means if I'm not getting that much feedback participation, we're certainly not going to get too many investors. So, again, that's what I mean. I don't know if I am the financial person that should be bringing this advice to the community. Maybe someone else can do a better job. But for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be silent. We're going on vacation. We're going to, and we will assess our position when we come back after 3 weeks.
Yes. Yes, bro. Absolutely.
After 3 weeks, because brother, after all these years, if we can't motivate the people a little bit more and look like we are, then look like we need to step down and let someone else.
Yes, sometimes people just don't want the opportunity, you know. It's like when the hand-slaughtered halal chicken was put in the Washington area stores. One would have thought, you know, there would have been an outpouring of support. Sometimes things aren't for the right time, but, you know, with this here, it's not like continuing to produce chicken and nobody buys it for 5 years. That's stupid. But this program here, we were reaching out to the community all over across the country to try to, you know, participate and get some activity. And like I say, especially in the Washington metropolitan area. And maybe something we're doing that's not exposing our business enough to the public to let them know who we are. Maybe just, as you said, we need to survey some things and look at it. Maybe we can get some more input or participation, but surely the ones that listening on the on calling in, you know, could participate and, you know, maybe give some ideas of their thoughts on business.
Again,
their
business
or...
Well, I'm telling you right now, Brother Aziz, New Africa Business Association, while you and I are at the helm, we don't need no more ideas. We need investors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we talk. At this point, I think we done said enough. I think it's time now. I can't think of anything that we can present as far as words. I think it's time now to be, like I said, you either know whether you want to grow in your community and you help your community
yes.
grow and your community help you to grow. If that's not valuable to you, then maybe we're just wasting our time. So with that said, Brother Aziz, I know we still got about 45 minutes, but it's supposed to be a two-hour show. We took it from 1 to 2, but we don't need 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Audience participation, the way I'm looking at our radio stats right now, we have a lot of drop-offs. And I think the drop-offs, like the brother said, is that, you know, they come to us, and then they go to another program at 8 o'clock. So maybe we need to drop our 8 o'clock program and just keep the 7 o'clock. Well, like I said, we're going to make those assessments after we come back from vacation. So we will tell you right now.
Right.
Let me look at the date right here. And that's going to be September the 1st. September the 1st.
Labor Day.
That's Labor Day, so we won't be back that weekend. We'll be back the following Wednesday. So that'll be around September the 8th. Is that what we're looking at?
I believe that's it. I didn't have one.
Well, it's close enough.
Yeah.
Close enough. So until around that time, Brother Aziz, we're going to go ahead and, like I said, because I know I'm a little burnt out or I'm tired, one or the other. But we're going to go ahead and take our summer vacation. And they continue with us or they continue with someone, brothers and sisters. You're going to have to make your communities valuable. If not, then others are going to come in and take it over because the community is in demand. You know, it's in demand. I mean, the same thing you see, it's already happening. The African-American community, when it comes to housing, our community is the only community as to where you can actually afford to buy a house all over this country. I don't care whether you're in a major metropolitan area or whether you're in a rural area, the cheapest house you can buy is going to be in the black community. And
you know who's buying all of them? You know who's buying all them up, Bilal?
That's my point. I exactly do, and it's happening. That's what I mean about we're going to lose our community.
I mean all over, far down south as well as up north.
Affordable place to live. And actually, those who want to destroy the African-American community, they're going to make it convenient for these outsiders to come in and take over your communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they ain't going to put redlining against them. There's no redlining against anyone other than African-Americans. That's where your redlining is. So, again, brothers and sisters,
that's correct.
We can be each other's... Yes, Brother Aziz.
I was going to share with you that I read, and I'm not sure it's the history, but this is what I read recently in an article about Baltimore. They said that Baltimore was actually the first city in America that was redlined. And this article said, as you can see, as a result of the day. And all I know is when I'm from down south, Alabama, and when I got out of the Marine Corps, I got out and from Quantico, Virginia, which is about 30 miles from D.C., so I decided to live in this area. So I had my first opportunity in 1970, in January, to go up to Baltimore. And at that time, it wasn't totally run down, but it was run down in 1970. Now, all of the places that you see in the downtown area of Baltimore, and this beautiful harbor place and all that, I definitely remember that it was impoverished black areas.
Yep.
And as time went by, the part of Baltimore that's called West Baltimore, and that's as you enter the city, everything to your left is considered West Baltimore.
Yep.
All you got to do is go a few blocks over off of that, and it's the same all the way as far as you can drive through the rest of Baltimore for the next 5, 6, 7 miles. It looks like that, run down to the ground. And it has to be, Brother Bilal, redlining at its best.
Yeah.
At its best, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, the area where you see the stadium in Baltimore, and you were in this area before me, where you see the stadium in Baltimore and that. Well, just the gas stations in that are still there. There's a big cemetery, again, on your left-hand side, just before you get in Baltimore. You can't even hardly see that thing no more.
Yeah.
The grass and growing up. A lot of people don't know that not only is the black section over to the west, over to the left going into Baltimore again, back over there is a Caucasian community. I don't know, Polish or whatever. Brother, they are just as poor as any black community you can go in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, impoverished. Impoverished.
Yeah.
So, redlining in the city, you know, some of those people got caught up in it that, you know, like I say, poor white folks got caught up in that stuff too. But where our communities are, it's devastated.
If your zip code is in a black community, then you're in a red line, you're in a red lining community. I don't care what it is. If your zip code is a black community, then no, there's no financing and stuff like that going on in that community, period. So I don't care what color your skin is. It's the community that has been identified as a red line city.
Well, they sure live next door, right close on top of each other, so... You're right. You can't tell a real big difference because they sure ain't intermingled now.
Oh, no,
and,
no,
and
no.
drugs devastated Baltimore, too, brother. The drugs, too.
That's why they call it an invisible red line. You can't see the red line. Financial institutions and white folks like that just got your boundaries marked off. So when you go to do business, that boundary, they know that they don't have to say anything. Oh, no, we don't do no. We know who's down there because it's already your zip code.
Yes.
Are you to identify that black community? You can believe that. Like I said, they live across the railroad track, so you don't do no business across the, no financing across the railroad track. They live across this river. Every time on the other side of the river, you don't do nothing with it. See, that's that invisible red line. And financial institutions, they know these red lines. They know where you are, and they're going to make certain monies don't go into where you are. And so, if Italians and stuff, I mean, Italians can move to Harlem. Once they got to Harlem, they're going to be treated the same way in Harlem the black folks are treated because everything in Harlem is going to be redlined. So the whole community is redlined. That's why they ain't coming down there because they know they can't do banking and they can't do other financial negotiations. They can't even open no business in Harlem because the banks look at everybody down. It's a red line area.
Well, you know, Brother Bilal, look at Southeast Washington, D.C. Over there in the area where we know a brother that lives over there in the area off of Southeast, where we visit him sometimes, all those over there where you used to be, you stayed with your relatives at one time, close to Frederick Douglass House.
Yeah.
All those, that area definitely has been redlined, and the renovations you see over there to those old 1900 homes, those renovations are done by Caucasians, brother.
Brother Isaac, let me correct you on something. So like you said, I was raised in Anacostia. I went to Anacostia in 1960, around 1963.
Mm-hmm.
In 1963, Anacostia was all white.
What?
There was no black. It was Jewish. Not only was it white, but it was a Jewish upgrade neighborhood. So, again, when it comes to Anacostia didn't have no red lines in it. That's where all your influence monies was at. But the funny thing about it is when they started building Georgetown, and white folks started moving to Georgetown and all like that, leaving Anacostia, and black folks started moving from Georgetown to Anacostia and places like that. It immediately became, as soon as black folks got to Anacostia, it immediately became redlined.
Okay, because I got here 1970, so when I came in 1970, January, like I say, Anacostia net was pretty much, well, it wasn't totally black. I see what you're saying now, and I needed to be corrected. You're right, because Clancy's up there from Marbury Plaza, where I used to live, Clancy on the top of the hill, that was a white hangout.
Yeah, all of that was white. When I was coming up as a kid around, there wasn't no black folks. Nowhere in Anacostia was there. Africa, down there with that big chair and all, man, wasn't no black folks down there. We were the only ones
in there
because of my uncle was an RN. He worked at a St. E's. So, you know, I suppose some of the professional
black folks. Wow, I would have never.
But
the Southeast, I definitely thought that's where the blacks were, you know.
No, man. Anacostia was the affluent, not only white folks, but I'm saying the affluent Jews. That's where they live, with Anacostia.
Uh-huh.
Curtis, brother. Curtis is from Anacostia. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Warners, all over from Anacostia. They own the damn baseball stadiums and all that kind of stuff now. All of them used to live in Anacostia.
Wow.
Yeah, all the rich folks used to live over there. But anyway, Brother Isaac,
that is amazing.
Our participation is not that big this evening. I don't see no point in keeping the radio station open. And we'll go back to our audience again. We just won't close them out. Anybody who has any comments or anything, because everything we've been saying, they've heard everything we're saying. But we don't have any secrets. Again, brothers and sisters, if you have any comments, we welcome your comments. And like you said, after tonight's show, it'll be about 3 weeks before we be back on the air. We welcome your comments. Our mics are open. So, yeah, Brother Aziz, I think, like I said, we have a... We have a quiet evening at this point. So if it's quiet with them, I'm going to go on and make it a short evening myself. Ain't no sense in you and I just talking. So, Brother Aziz, it's been a good year. And we'll start our new year again when we come back after the holidays. But I'm going to go ahead and enjoy vacation and my birthdays, my wife's birthdays, and we're going to do all of that.
Yes,
We'll come back after the holidays and continue our broadcasting. So there. So until then.
Yeah,
brothers,
you know, that's good.
So until then, brothers.
That's good, brother Bilal.
Association, brother Aziz, any comments you want to make going off? I'm going to let you make your comments and I'll close us out.
I was going to say, yes, Brother Bilal, it's been a good year this year, and, you know, we've learned a lot and everything, and whether we're on the air or just doing what we do, we always look for business, brother. We're going to keep on doing whatever we do, and, you know, we'll give it some thought in that, and maybe just a 1 hour, you know, like you said, just think about it, because... there's a lot of things going on, and Masha Muhammad, the way it's going to be developing, inshallah, and all that, there'll be a lot of community activity around there, too. And these young ones around there need somebody to teach them something, you know.
Just, yeah.
But, you know, hope we have a good vacation, brother. We're talking.
And I look forward to thanks so much, Brother Aziz, and audience. Like I said,
thank you.
We'll be back on after around the 8th
August,
of September.
August. Yeah, that's the 8th of September. You're right, bro. That's
on the 8th of September, and we look forward to getting back and. And getting back and doing business with each other. Remember what one can do, and many of us are can. We ask you to take that slogan, and when we come back, let's see how we can become vested and grow our communities together. Until then, I am saying peace be unto all of you, and good night.
Yes. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.